Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Matt, you with us?
Hey, phones, yes.
Oh, you sound much better now. Much better now. Much all right, better, Matt, yes. You were talking about, you know, Rule, your history with Rule and you know, whether or not you like the Gase hiring by the Jets.
Yeah, I think he would have been a smart way to go, but I think your guys' greater question was whether or not the staff control thing would come up. And the first thing that jumps into my mind there is they say staff control, or they hiring the staff. Who are we really talking about? I think we're talking about the quarterback coach. I think they want to know, who does Matt have in mind to handle Darnold? I mean, I really think that's ultimately the end thing here. And it's been a little bit curious, to say the least, to watch a few of these jobs roll around, and a lot of it is around that guy. I know it's important, but I think you can really blind yourself a little bit by staring too much at that part. They still got to manage an entire organization. You still got to pull together a team and win over time. So it just seems like it may be a little bit of an overreaction in the moment. If Matt Rule is your guy and you didn't get him for that reason, you'll be kicking yourself 4 or 5 years from now.
Hey, so let me ask you, Matt. You have a problem with the fact that, you know, just sticking on a Jet thing real quick, we're talking AFC East, right? What the heck, right? So you have an issue that, because I do a little bit, you know, that you pull a coach in that didn't do great, his resume, in conference from the Dolphins, and you bring him to the – I mean, like, does that irk you a little bit, or are you cool with it?
You know, I guess I try to push away from the table a little bit. And I think a lot of times GMs want to do this. They want to see the best side of a guy. And we go back 2 years ago, the Dolphins did make the playoffs, and that was something they hadn't done in a while. And he had pulled them sort of up out of something. And remember, they had some monstrosity contracts on their ledger. They had the Sue contract, which was just outlandish for an inside player. So it's not like it was a real well-constructed team, and he did do some positive things with it. But again, well, I'm sort of back to the last point. They didn't do well with developing their particular quarterback, or maybe they just didn't have the right guy there in Ryan, as far as, you know, being some sort of top five, top 10 kind of guy and going to lead you on for years and years and years. So in the absence of that, they have to look back at him and say, okay, we didn't get you that part. How'd you manage the rest of it? And then that's generally, I think, what they're doing. They're at this point, they're probably buying into more what they believe about the guy and trying to discount some of the situation around them.
You know, but, I guess the point that Taz, you think it's an easy sell. I mean, how is the Jet fan waking up here on this Thursday morning? You know,
no,
excited,
not happy.
Excited, Matt, that they're hiring a guy that they just watched go 2 games under 500 in 3 years in Miami.
Yeah, exactly. So again, yes, from a PR perspective, it's certainly not the right move. But yeah, they'll be judged at time. I think one of the things that we kind of do every time you see us, what is it, 6 or 7 jobs that go up each and every year, there's going to be a retread name or two that will interest some people, and other people will be mad that that he'll get another chance. And then there's the handful of college, you know, hot topics, and then there's those handful of hot topic coordinators. And, you know, if you look in any particular fan base, it doesn't have to be the Jets this year, it can be in any year, there's going to be little circles that are going to, you know, gravitate towards the college coach that did great, and hey, he should get the jump. There's going to be one that whatever the condition is that's going on with your team, hey, we have a quarterback problem. Let's go get the quarterback coordinator. That'll do it. But I think invariably those things are fun to talk about. But if you pull back and look 4 or 5 years forward, they're going to have to manage the whole group. They're going to have to be an exceptional leader of men and pull in the full 53. So sometimes these conversations tend to gravitate around pretty narrow things, but the big job is what ends up letting you keep a thing.
All right, Matt, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk about another team in the AFC East, talk about the Patriots. So does this Pats team, do they feel a little different to you than years past?
They do. I guess I'll just put it this way. Their season feels different to me. As they sit here today on the cusp of another divisional, the team feels the same. But the season that they had, their resume feels differently, certainly. And I think in part because they had stinkers, more stinkers than usual. So I mean, every team throughout this year has had a few losses. The Patriots, even in great years, will have a couple losses, will have a few losses. It was just sort of the wow, outlier, kind of like, wow, they were bad on that day. You know, a 2-score loss to a non-playoff team, that kind of thing. And they did that several times. So it's more, I would say this, they're a little more apt to have a really bad day. But their highest high is as high as normal. I mean, they beat the Chiefs. They beat the Bears on the road. They walked through the Packers and Vikings, which were hot teams at the time. So they can beat really good teams. They can be very competitive against very good teams. And now they get a home game. So I caution myself to make much of those situations. They're not playing in Miami this weekend. You might actually feel differently. You know, if they were playing the Dolphins in Miami, I might feel differently than a home game with the Chargers. But it's a little bit of an unusual situation. I think they had, in some of those stinker games, higher number of penalties, so some sloppy sort of non-Patriots football that you don't often see. Haven't been great in situational football at times. That has hurt them. But, again, you walk back at – push away from the table. They've had a great last couple weeks. They got a really healthy roster. I still think they're built to do a lot of damage.
All right. When you look at this matchup against the Chargers, Matt, LA coming off the win against Baltimore, what do you think are some keys to the game that you're going to be keeping an eye on?
Well, they're a very, very tough team, and tough teams don't make a lot of mistakes, and I think that's the real challenge with San Diego. They're used to traveling. They essentially don't have a home, so they roam the country anyhow. So they haven't been in this situation, though, and I try to point out that this is a little bit unique. They've been good on the road, but they haven't been doing the back-to-back coast road thing. So they've done the 1 o'clock win, you know, moving left to right. You know, getting up at 10 o'clock at their hour, doing it in somewhat colder conditions this weekend than before, but it's not as if it's wildly different. I think the conditions here are going to be a challenge. And people say, oh, no, it's all about the football. It is, but you want to see someone show up and not lose a possession or two, because the Patriots are a really, really tough team if you get behind them. So you come out here, the newness of the situation, the fatigue that's bound to be part of it, and you get behind a drive. You have an early turnover, you know, something like that. But that's where that toughness will be tested. Can they come out ready to roll? And that's really the difficulty here. This is such a tough place. I remember, obviously, from my Jets days, and we traveled here in the playoffs, and we had done great in the regular season. We beat them, helped them change from grass to turf. You know, that with that win there in the left. And we showed up, and on that day, we got down a little bit, and that plate starts frothing, and you get the ball back in Tom's hands with a lead. And it's just a slippery slope. There's nowhere to go from there. So I think the Chargers have a huge, huge challenge in front of them. This is unique to anything they face during the year.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Matt. And let me ask you, man, about Gronk, man. Do you think this is his last year in the game or what?
It's a really personal decision, and he hasn't said. He's certainly been asked. You never know what a guy's dealing with. If he's and I can think of a dozen examples on all the teams that I played with of guys that – I knew it was dealing with something that he would recover from in March and April. He'd take a deep breath in June, and if he wanted to play more years, he certainly would. But it's something that was limiting him. So you know in the locker room, you know out in the huddle that, hey, this guy's dealing with something. It's not his full deal, but that ain't like the kind of thing that's going to take him into retirement. Since we don't know if it's that, if it's just the agitation of the back, if the ankle thing is something that's real, you know, going to be a lifelong deal, we don't know those things. If these are bumps and bruises, he's just having a hard time getting over, and it's making him not the spread out from the formation receiver guy that we remember, well, then, yeah, I think he could make a decision. His mind was obviously all over the place last year with what he wanted to do. But he does love the locker room. He does love the guys here, and he loves being a part of it. So I don't think he was necessarily ever a guy that was driven by needing to lead the league in a category, you know, as being sort of the source of his fun. I think what he does at the exact same level that he ever did was block. And I know that's not sexy and people love that and you don't get to see the Gronk spikes and all that, but he's been an asset to this offense because they've moved Tom Brady under center in a three-year trend here more than he's been in a long time, near top of league. So he's under center, the tight end's in location. It looks like these pro-style formations from the 90s. And they run with two backs and a fullback. And those kind of offenses, you don't really have to have spread out Gronk. So having him as a very good blocker and an occasional play action target, that's still a good thing. So he'll have decisions to make, but I don't think he's dead. I know we talk about him that way a little bit as if, you know, just because he's not catching as many balls and touchdowns.
You know, Matt, getting a sense from, your answers to the questions from Taz and myself that you think it's going to be a New England afternoon on Sunday.
I think if we had to bet on this thing 10 times, I'd bet on them 6 or 7. But they're capable of losing it, no question. So I just think it's going to be a fun game. I think it'll be entertaining. I think this is two good defenses. One of the things with the Patriots defense, where if you're talking to me, you know, early December, late November, there was a scare there. There was a, this is not This is a group that can't stop anyone on the ground. And if that's your issue going in against the Chargers, you got problems. Melvin Gordon's very good. They use Eckler some through the passing game. And that really sets the table for a lot they like to do in the passing game. But they rectified that in the last few weeks. They brought up Danny Shelton, who was the big guy brought over for the former first-rounder, brought over from Cleveland. He'd been on the roster, played well for him earlier in the season, and then they inactivated him. You got these big guys, the 350-pound dudes, that kind of don't have a role when you start playing a whole bunch of nickel defense. And they kind of went away from a while, brought him back up, and then they've really, I think, sort of plugged that gap of having issues in the run game. If you take that away, then all of a sudden you feel differently. And I think if the Patriots handle the run game first, they could and should win this game.
You know, Matt, final one, and it's a little bit of a curveball, but I want to ask it to you anyway, because it's a storyline this morning after the news came out that he's going to declare for the NFL draft. When you look at a guy of Kyler Murray's stature, all the success he had collegiately, you played in the league. You know, he's listed at 5'10". He's probably anywhere between 5'8 and 5'9". But we've seen smaller quarterbacks have more success in the NFL. You know, are we pushing the boundary a little bit too much, or do you think when you look at a player of Murray, do you think that can work in the NFL?
Well, I was a teammate of Doug Flutie for a year, so this is always a topic that I remember when he was in the division, but not on our team, when he was in Buffalo. And you know, I'm a taller guy, 6'4", 6'5", guy, and you stand across from a smaller quarterback. And you get in the hall.
Matt, let me ask Matt. I'm going to just interrupt you. How tall, legit, do you think was Flutie? Was he like 5'9", 5'10"? Honestly, what do you think he was?
Yeah, he was. He might even been 5'8". He's not a tall guy.
Okay, all right, gotcha.
He is short. And so that's kind of where the story was going. I mean, like, you used to see, you know, in our place, it was Drew Bledsoe, you know, like the Marinos and like the tall guys, right, under center. What is it? What a 6'4", 6'5", guy looks walking up behind a 6'3", or 6'4", center.
Right.
You're used to seeing their hands at a certain level. Doug took snaps from his chin. it was goofy, right? It was funny to see. But I think at a time Doug played at a time where you lived under center. Yeah, you'd go into the shotgun if it was third down or something. But think of today. Today's football's not that. You know, like I said, the Patriots are under center more. The Rams were at the top of the league under center, and the New Orleans Saints are up there as well. But other than that, there's a lot of these teams living in the gun. And if you're willing to put a shorter man in the gun, well, he's got a chance because pocket movement stuff, and they'll move around. The tough part is when you put a really short dude behind a huge offensive lineman and make him stand right there in the pocket. You can't see out of it. So he's going to get deflected passes. He's going to have a struggle. But if the offense changes, well, then his height becomes a lot less of an issue.
Matt Chatham, Athletic, up there in Boston. Hey, Matt, enjoy the games this weekend. We appreciate the time this morning, all right?
Thanks, Matt.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for having me.
You got it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.